Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. My name is Reverend Shane Friesen. I'm here today with my wife, Kim, and it's a pleasure to be with you. I hope today's service will be an encouragement to you individually and as a flock here in Winkler. I have a special welcome to those who have committed their lives to Christ and are preparing for baptism. And it's a very special day indeed. And I hope they feel a very special blessing from Jesus Christ, their Lord, today. 54 of Psalm 118. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And for you, young souls, this is a day which the Lord has made for you as well, where you prepare to outwardly confess your faith in Jesus Christ and love of him and his church. And we just thank you that you have been willing to make that commitment to hear the call on your heart by Jesus Christ. And so now would we please bow for opening prayer. Our Father and great God, we come before your throne of mercy this morning with grateful hearts indeed. This is a special day which you have made, and we rejoice in it. We just thank you for all of the blessings that you have already granted to us today. We thank you for those which you have in store for us yet to come. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to have eyes that look for your blessing, that look for the hope of our faith, which is your working in our lives. We thank you so much, Father, for all good things, and especially that you give us your word to study, to know how to live for you, to know that we have been redeemed from sin in faith in Jesus Christ, and that we have this flock here where we can come together, strengthening each other, and learn by discussing with each other your word. We praise your name for all good things. And we ask you now, Father, would you please prepare us, prepare our hearts and our minds and our souls and our bodies to worship you this morning, that we might do so in a way which allows us to freely open up to you, to your word, and in a way which allows you to freely be poured into each of our hearts and lives. We ask you, Father, please continue to bless us as we go through the articles today, which help us to understand the foundation of faith in Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray, amen. Let us now worship God together in song.
Take the red book and turn to number 395 in the glory of life's morning.
In the glory of life's morning, everything is bright and fair. Lord, in you our lives take over, and for service us prepare. For the cause of Christ our Savior, let us labor all the day, that not ere the task is ended, life's bright sun may pass away. If we love the name of Jesus, let us prove it by our deeds. In the name our help needs, for the cause of Christ our Savior, let us labor all the day, that not ere the task is ended, life's bright sun may pass away. May we know in more much eagerness and zest. For the cause of Christ our Savior, let us labor all the day, that not ere the task is ended, life's bright sun may pass away.
241, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? 241.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed? Spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Thank you so much for that playing and singing. And what indeed a wonderful way to start the service. And what a wonderful message for everyone here. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? My intention this morning is to read through carefully our confession of faith, the articles 1-6. And I trust that you've all brought your confessions with you. If not, you will be able to hear what they say by my reading of them. And I notice, and through past experience, that many seem to prefer if I just kind of read it through without interrupting too much. So I'll read it through, and then after all is said and done, we'll discuss a few matters contained within it. And I trust that that's acceptable to you this morning. And so turn with me to start to the front page of our Confession of Faith, where I wish to start there on page 111. 111, where we have, and there we have two verses. And these two verses I wish to explain just a little bit. 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." This is perhaps to be considered the motto of Menno Simons. On almost every one of his writings, this verse was there within it. No other foundation other than Jesus Christ. And that is a good reminder for each of us in our Christian walk. And then also another special verse to Menno Simons and other early Anabaptists, Romans 10, verse 10. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." This, for them and for us, represents the idea that it is when you are able to choose Jesus Christ that that process is in the right timing. Not as a baby, as the Catholic Church does, which is from where we come. But when you're able, as these five young people have decided now of their own free will and mind to choose Jesus for themselves, that is what the Bible teaches. And so now let's read on page 113 the introduction given to us by Bishop Johannes Wiebe. "In the following pages, I give to the Church our confession of faith. As we instruct it each year, we have heard of a necessity to have this confession of faith on which we were baptized, which we hear only once each year in a church service, placed into the hands of the members of the congregations. In this way, we could read it ourselves and could compare it with the Holy Scriptures, from which this confession of faith is taken. In this way, too, we would become more firmly established in the faith and will be able at all times to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you," 1 Peter 3:15. "In order to satisfy this demand, and in a small measure to help build the church, I undertook to prepare these confessional statements in writing. Together with our catechism, it will provide our youth who are preparing for holy baptism the opportunity, when they are home alone, to become more and more acquainted with the divine truth as they hear it in the house of God. May our Savior Jesus Christ bless the use of these pages, and may he open many hearts so that they not only help to spread the knowledge of truth, but that this same truth may become power, a power from God in the heart, to everlasting life, which power is revealed in word and in deeds. May God's grace grant this to us all. Amen." And that is my wish for us this morning as well, written by Bishop Johannes Wiebe, elder of the church at Rhineland, Manitoba, Rosengart, June 27th, 1881. And so now let us read articles, starting in Article 1, page 117, of God, the Creator of all things. "We believe in our hearts and confess it with our mouth. In many, with all the great patriarchs, or rather in company with all the great patriarchs and prophets, and chosen children of God, who have lived from the beginning, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in an everlasting, almighty, and in all things, visible and invisible, as stated in Genesis 1. And he still sustains, governs, and supports with his mighty word all things. He is holy, entirely complete, a mysterious spiritual being, as our Savior himself testifies in John 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He proceeds from himself and does not need help from anyone. As Paul writes in Acts chapter 17, seeing he has given to all life, breath, and all things. He is everlasting, without beginning or end, and eternal and almighty God, Lord of the heavenly hosts, a King of kings who is above all and through all and in you all," Ephesians 4, verse 6. "A righteous judge," 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. "A consuming fire," Hebrews 12, 29. "A jealous God who will visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate him. Exodus 20, verse 5. He is honest and just. He is holy and merciful, a God of love and compassion. He is a God which no one has seen nor will see, and dwells in the light to which no man can come, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light to which no man can approach unto, whom no man has ever seen or can see, 1 Timothy 6:16. The heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool, Isaiah 66:1. He is present everywhere. He sees all things, and no one can hide from his presence, so that God will not see him, Proverbs 15, verse 3. For all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, Hebrews 4:13. Of such ever-present God we speak. It is written in Isaiah 42, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He is God alone and no one else. Everything must be obedient to his will. For his word is truth and his commands are righteous. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood. Psalm 33, verse 4 and verse 9. In the Lord we have righteousness and strength. Before him all knees shall bow, and all tongues shall confess him. And all tongues shall confess him. Isaiah 45, 23 and 24. To this great Lord and God we must cling with a living and an everlasting faith and be obedient to him. For if we want to show him childlike obedience and to love him with all our strength, with our whole heart and soul and mind, according to Matthew 22 and verse 37. And now, Article 2 of the Son of God. We also believe in and confess Jesus Christ, the true Son of the everlasting God, who is called the Word, which has been with God from eternity, the light and glory of his Father, according to Hebrews 1. Through him, the earth and all things were created, as stated in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Epistle to the Hebrews testifies in chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world. Colossians 1:16 states, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. David states in Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. And the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 3, verse 9, that God has created all things by Jesus Christ. Therefore, we also, together with Thomas, according to John chapter 20, confess him as our Lord and God, and with Peter and Nathanael that he is the Christ, the living Son of God, who is the 15. In Acts 4, verse 12, we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Yes, we confess that he is the true God and the eternal life, our own Lord, Savior, Redeemer, and our salvation. And now Article 3, of God, the Holy Spirit. We also believe in and confess the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, John 15, verse 26. Of this Spirit, David said in Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He is the only consolation of the afflicted, the power of God from on high, or Luke 24. This Holy Spirit leads us in all truth, and all who are moved by the Spirit of God are children of God, Romans 8. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Through this Spirit, we examine all things, also the mysteries of God, 1 Corinthians 2:10. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. But God has revealed unto us by the Spirit that we are the children of God. In 2 Peter 1:21, we read, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also moved the apostles of the Lord to speak in many tongues of the mighty works of God, and to praise and to glorify his name before all people. Acts chapter 2. In Isaiah 11, verse 2, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And through him be praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from now into all eternity. Amen. Thus far, the reading of the articles in the first portion of our message. And now, as we prepare to go on bended knee, I wish to have those who are committing themselves to baptism, when I call their name, to stand so you can identify them. And I will also at that time explain who their parents are and who is standing as their first witness. That is, who is declaring to you as this congregation in Winkler that these young men and women are ready to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And so, we start with Ernie Wall. Would you please stand up? Ernie is the son of David Wall and Maria Wall. And would his first witness, David Wall, please stand up? Thank you. You may be seated. Secondly, we have Levi James Wall. Would you please stand up? And would you please turn around as well so the congregation can see you? Thank you. He is the son of Lewis James Wall and Jennifer Ann Wall. Would his first witness, Lewis Wall, please stand up? Thank you. You may both be seated. Next, we have Jordan Kyle Unra. Would you please rise? And would you also please face the audience? Thank you. Jordan is the son of Isaac and Tina Unra. His first witness is Isaac Unra. Would you please stand? Thank you. You may both be seated. Next, we have Vailey Nevaeh Peters. Would you please rise? And would you please face the audience? Daughter of Peter Peters and Karen Peters. And her first witness is Pete Peters. Would you please rise? Thank you. You may both be seated. And finally, we have Deanna Marie Craker. Would you please rise and would you please face the audience? Daughter of John Craker and Susie Craker. And her first witness is John Craker. Would you please rise? Thank you. You may all be seated. on your heart, but I also ask you to please pray for those who have just risen to stand and also to witness, that they might fulfill what they have promised by God's grace. Let us kneel. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Take the blue book and turn to number 385, His Way with Thee. For those that are able, let's stand.
Live for Jesus and be always pure and good. Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burdens, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you have Him make you free and follow at His call? Would you know the peace that comes from giving all? Would you have Him save you so that you need never fall? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you in His kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove Him true in providential tests? Would you have His way with thee? His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for Him to have His way with thee.
Join me once again for those of you who have your catechism books with you on page 125, where we'll read, starting with Article 4, of the Holy Trinity. We believe and confess that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one Almighty God. As John says in 1 John 5, verse 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. and these three are one. Not only one or united, but wholly one in action and in will, as well as in accomplishments. In like honor and glory, one, not without the other, equally eternal, not three persons or gods, but only one God, the only one and none other. Unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Romans 11:33. Yet vast is the godly and blessed mystery, 1 Timothy 3:16, much of which remains beyond our grasp and God's ways beyond our understanding, yet they are believable. And in Colossians 1:27, Paul says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That this triune God is inseparable, Jesus himself teaches in John 14, verse 9. For when Philip asked the Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us, Jesus said to him, have I not been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Believest thou not me that I am in the Father and the Father in me? In John 12, 44 and 45, Jesus says, he that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. In John 10, verse 30, our blessed Savior says, I and the Father are one. He does not say united, but one. And when the Apostle Paul wants to bless his faithful followers, he pronounces his blessing in the name of the triune God and says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. And now, page 129, Article 5, of the birth of Jesus Christ. We believe and confess, as the whole scriptures testify, that he, Jesus Christ, from eternity, was born of God and has always been with God. But when the time which God had set for the salvation of the world was fulfilled, he sent his Son, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the Virgin Mary. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, according to the holy prophecy of Isaiah 7:14. And when the angel speaks to Mary, she was surprised how this was to happen, for she knew not a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Luke 1:34 and 35. This is why the Apostle Paul is filled with wonder when he says, 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ became man, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Philippians 2, verse 7. God has also exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name. Philippians 2, verse 9. Hebrews 4 says he is sinless and spotless. He was not created like Adam, but is the Lord from heaven. 1 Corinthians 15. He proceeded from the Father and came into the world. Then he departed this world and proceeded to the Father. John 6. And all this he did for our sake, because otherwise we would have remained forever in God's anger and disgrace, into which we all with Adam have fallen. Therefore, we believe and confess the birth of Christ as man and his great humiliation. But at the same time, he did not relinquish his heavenly majesty and individuality, for in him abides the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2, and remains true God and man in one person and has saved us all through his suffering and death and restored what we lost through Adam. For God created man to everlasting life in righteousness and holiness. But through sin, death has conquered all men, because all have sinned. Romans 5:12. But God's everlasting love had pity for all and promised them that the seed of woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. Genesis 3:14 and 15. Yes, God's holy love had compassion. Man, being God's glorious image, should not be lost. This is why the Lord Jesus came to earth and became man, so he could help man again and make him blessed. For Christ's whole life and conduct on earth was one of pure love, wherewith he loved us all. Because he was born on earth as a child and gave himself as an atoning sacrifice for all the sins of the world, 1 John 2, verse 2, our children in their innocence are blessed children of God. But of him are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, redemption and sanctification, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. He was sacrificed for our sin. He died and was buried, and was raised again for our justification, Romans 4, verse 25. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, Philippians 2, verses 10 and 11. In conclusion to this article, we say, thanks be to our Lord Jesus for his suffering and death when he died and rose again for our sake. For he has thus purchased us with his precious blood so that we can inherit his heavenly kingdom. To him and his heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit be eternal thanks for his great love. Amen. And now, page 135, Article 6. And I just want to point out that a couple of years ago, the ministerial made some small changes to the first about half page of the article. At that time, little stickers were given out to be put into your books, and so I hope that you all have that. I'll be reading the newest version of Article 6. This morning. We confess, too, that God has had from the beginning and always will have a visible people of faith, a congregation of the righteous, Psalm 1, verse 5. This people of faith he began with Adam and Eve in paradise and households. Following the flood, God renewed his community of the righteous through Noah. And later, with Abraham, he made a covenant to be his God. That is, to be the God of both Abraham and his seed, Genesis 17, verse 7. And if they would keep his covenant, Abraham's seed would become a blessed and holy nation and a kingdom of priests, Exodus 19, 5 and 6. This assembly of the faithful before Jesus' finished work on the cross was the church of the Old Testament, flowing through the faithful seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the children of Israel under the law. When, however, in the fullness of time, our Lord Jesus came with his gospel of mercy and grace, He sent his apostles into the whole world. By the preaching of the gospel and through it, they were to gather a church of all people and tongues who would become converted and believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, these together were to have one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, Ephesians 4, verse 5. Those who are united in one faith and are baptized into one body through Christ with God in heaven, and who have Christ dwelling in their hearts, Ephesians 3, 17. In this way, the fellowship of the church was one body, who together, without respect of persons, are one body and one soul through Jesus Christ, who support and keep each other in love and in prayer before God. That in the church, which according to Acts 2, God has chosen for himself of every tongue and nation, a people that fear God and live righteously. That is why the Apostle Paul says, the Lord has gathered a church for himself by his own blood and has cleansed it with the washing of water by the word, that this church reflects one that is glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, as stated in Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. This church will then be called the house and temple of the living God, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, of which Christ is the cornerstone, Ephesians 2, verse 20. This church is also recognized by its faith in the scriptures, which is a faith working in love, Galatians 5, verse 6. It is founded on the pure teachings of Scripture and on the godly and just conduct the members have with each other and in the keeping of the commandments of God as has been taught by Jesus, the head of the church. In conclusion, by faith we believe that the Lord Jesus, according to his promise, will be and remain with his church and all believing Christians to the end of the world, Matthew 28, verse 20, that no power or force of Satan, neither the gates of hell, shall prevail against it, Matthew 16, verse 18. May we come to the true knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ and in real fellowship with God. This we most truly and sincerely wish for all of us unworthy ones. Good morning, and thank you for following along. And now I'd like to bring forward some simple conclusions that you can take home, which help explain or summarize these articles which we've just discussed. First of all, we can notice that there are three main themes being talked about in among these six articles. The first four articles talk about who God is, how the Bible explains it. And that is that God is a God who is in charge. He is in charge. And he is active in our daily lives. And I wonder if we sometimes forget that. Do we sometimes forget that actually God is in charge of everything? Everything. Not that he's in control of everything. I say there's a little difference there. We have free will given to us as humans. But ultimately, God is in charge. And he's in charge of every aspect of our daily lives. And sometimes I think as Christians, we kind of segregate. We say the spiritual stuff, yes, God's in charge of these spiritual matters. But then in our physical life, we sometimes rely on ourselves fully. I give you a simple example. Maybe you think it's too simple, but this is something that I have started to do in my own life. You know, maybe you don't know, I'm a farmer, and so I do quite a bit of repairing, and I And I sometimes drop nuts and bolts, and they're just, I know they're there. They're right within 10 feet. I know that for sure. And yet I can't see them. So what do? You know, some of you probably just go and get a new one or give up or whatever. I give even that to the Lord. And I say, Father, would you please let me find what I'm looking for? You see, even in the physical world, let us give and surrender everything to the Lord. Like I say, I know that's a very simple thing, but in my own life, it's so amazing how many times all of a sudden it's right there in front of me. If we can do this in the physical things of our life, then we know we can also do it in the spiritual matters of our life as well. Surrender everything to God. Please help in this simple aspect of my life today, Father. I believe you are in charge, and I believe you are active in my life, and you want to be comforting to me and to bless me, even as I wait for you to call me home. So the first four articles define who God is. The fifth article clarifies who Jesus Christ is in a special way. Jesus is fully God. Jesus is fully God, but he is also fully man. Jesus is fully God, but he is also fully man. I think it's in Isaiah. No, Isaiah 53. I believe it's Isaiah 53. Maybe not. We'll see. I didn't have this reference written down. Isaiah, son is born to us. Any ministerial help me out with that? Is it Isaiah 9? Yes, Isaiah 9. Sorry that I had to find it in my brain there. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Thank you for being patient. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. I find this to be a wonderful verse that encourages us about this idea that Jesus is 6. For unto us a child is born, a human child is born. Unto us a son is given. Do you see it? A human child is born, a heavenly son is given. To me, that speaks exactly to this idea. Jesus is fully God, but he also is fully man. It's very important that we understand that in our Christian faith. Also, we are told in Article 5, Jesus was truly sacrificed on the cross. He was truly sacrificed on the cross for our sins, but he was also truly resurrected on Easter Sunday. Article 6 describes our foundational beliefs about church. About church. And there's a couple of different points that I wish just to highlight for you. They're all within Article 6. Some of them are also found in the previous articles. First of all, where it says there that God has a congregation, that God has called out a people. Can we not from that understand that it's not on your own? It's not on your own. We are not called to be disciples of Jesus in isolation. And isn't that a temptation that many fall into these last few years? That I can be in isolation and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says he calls a people who fellowship, who work together, who uplift each other. That requires relationship with each other, coming together. Church is not in isolation. It is with groups of people. The other thing I notice and wish to highlight in Article 6 is that faith is love in action. Faith is love in action. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Where we will read verses 29 to 31. Jesus' words, and Jesus answered him in Mark 12, 29 to 31, the first of all the commandments is, that is the greatest, the most important of all the commandments that God has given us in the Bible is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Everything that you are as a human is to be loving God. It's faith in action. And verse 31, and the second, that is the second greatest commandment, is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Faith in action, right? That's faith in action again. There is none other commandment greater than these. In addition to this, we have some really good words in James about this topic. James now in chapter 1 starting. And verse 22 of James chapter 1. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers of the word. Put the instructions of the Bible to work in your life. And now we carry on into chapter 2, and I read there verses 14 to 26. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? So the Apostle James is here explaining that just saying you believe in Jesus, that doesn't help you. That doesn't get you where you need to go. Just saying, making a mental choice, that's not what faith is. What does it profit you, he says? That you say you have faith, but you don't have works. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Isn't that a wonderful example? We just went with a youth group in Altona. We went to Union Gospel Mission to serve, where I love serving. And there are many people there who are coming off the street. That's where they live. And it looks like it. They don't have much in their life as far as physical things. Now, what if I were just to tell them, just go out there and be rich. Go out there and be full. You're not hungry anymore. Like, that doesn't help anything. That's the point. It's so ridiculous a thing to think. No. You have to provide the stuff in order that they have it. And so the Apostle James says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. You say there's only one God? You're on the right track, but guess what? The devils also believe that there's only one God, and they tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So in other words, you want to argue with me? Fine, let's go on, he says. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac by his son upon the altar? That was his faith in action. He truly believed. He was willing to live it out. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. He believed God, Abraham did. How did we know that he believed God? Because he lived it out. He put it into action in his life. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. That's the point. We're not justified by works, but a faith that is true always comes along with godly works. That's the point. Likewise, verse 25, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. That's the point. It's a certain kind of faith that we need to consider in Christianity. A certain kind of faith. That's what we're getting at. Not just a mental decision, but an action in your life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10 says, by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So that's the point. When you have true faith, then you're going to live it out. And that's what God has intended for you, to live that out in your life. So, on the church, we are told in our article what a true faith looks like. A short summary or one point we could make very, very sure of is that obedience to God is part of Christian faith. It's part of it. Now, I wish in closing to highlight something for you. This is actually a discussion that goes all the way back to the founding of the Mennonite Church, of Anabaptism. You see, at the time of the Reformation, just briefly, in the early 1500s, when the Reformation was starting, where people were starting to think that this Catholic Church doesn't seem to be following the Bible, and so they're trying to decide how to properly follow the Bible. That's the Reformation. And we had different groups coming all at the same time. One was Martin Luther, from whom the Lutheran Church evolved. This is how Martin Luther talked about salvation by faith alone. Solo fide, faith alone, is one of his key foundations. Martin Luther, he went to this, and I'm not trying to talk down about Martin Luther. There's many good things I think we could say about him. I just want you to understand how our logic goes when we close ourselves off to the Bible. This is one of the things he said. Be a sinner and sin boldly, but believe and rejoice in Christ even more boldly. No sin will separate us from the Lamb, even though we commit fornication and murder 1,000 times a day. You see, that's the full extreme of faith alone without works. And I just bring you a comparison to one of the fathers of the Anabaptist movement from where we come. His name was Hans Denk, and he wrote in roughly 1525 or 1527 this: faith is the obedience to God and the confidence in his promise through Jesus Christ. Wherever this obedience is absent, there all confidence is false and a deception. This obedience must be genuine. That is, that heart, mouth, and deed coincide together. For there can be no true heart where neither mouth nor deed is visible. So anyway, those are some of the highlight points that I highlight out of our articles. We're given a rich depth of understanding of the scriptures in our articles. And I really appreciate that God allowed that to happen and that we have that as our inheritance, as our foundation in our church. With that, I just invite us to closing prayer. Our Father and great God, we come before your throne of mercy once again this morning with grateful hearts for, again, all the blessings you grant us, including your Bible, which teaches us how to think, how to live, how to make you happy, and above all, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and through faith in him, we can share in his inheritance. We thank you, Father, for this hope, for these promises. And we just pray for this flock and for the young souls who are committing themselves to Christ, that you would grow in them a desire for your word that can't be stopped. Grow in them a desire to love each other in this church and their neighbors in the name of Jesus Christ, which can't be hidden. And grow in them indeed a love day with their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We thank you, Father, and we ask you, would you please grant us your Holy Spirit that we might be strengthened in your word and to carry out the life that you would like us to carry out, that is, by your grace and through faith in Jesus. And in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now, once again, for anything that lies upon your hearts this morning, I invite you onto bended knee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
So take your blue hymnal and turn to number 399. I'll go where you want me to go. 399.
There may be now in the paths of sin. Savior, if thou wilt be my guide, though dark and rugged the way, my voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. There's surely somewhere a lowly place, in earth's harvest field so wide, where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus the crucified. So trusting my all unto care, I know thou lovest me. I'll do thy will with a heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Shane, for bringing us the message this morning and going through the articles. Thank you for the song leaders and pianists for leading us in singing. Also, I'd like to thank all the baptism candidates that came forward this morning. Also, for all those witnesses that came forward this morning as well. A big thank you. And announcements for this morning. The men's breakfast for April has been canceled due to the conference that's going to be here. So the next men's breakfast is going to be May 16th at 9 a.m. And then there is a Sommerfeld Mennonite Church conference for men and women and youth. And that's going to be here on April 17th and Saturday, April 18th. And that is also, as was mentioned, that it's not just for men, it's for the men and women and youth. And then on Saturday, the meals that are going to be prepared is going to be to serve the two of our youth groups as a fundraiser for their groups, Morden and Stuart Byrne. So there will be a free will offering opportunity during those meals and coffee breaks to support them. So that's also to support missions. And then there is a praise item. A heartfelt thank you goes out to Reverend Jake Hyde, Reverend Art Weeb, and all those who had special numbers or participated in any way for the Passion Week services, April 1st and April 2nd. Your participation and attendance was greatly appreciated. Sommerfeld Mennonite Conference, there's also an insert in your bulletin, which has the schedule of events in there. And to make mention of the meals, so there will be also gluten-free options available during the conference. And on a Saturday, the breakfast is not going to be a full breakfast. It's going to be fruit and muffins. And in the back of the bulletin, there's some prayer requests. Susie Dick, she fell March 1st and broke her arm above the elbow. Surgery is not possible for her, so it was set and then cast put on. And there's the update. Her bone has started to heal. Thank you for your prayers. A man struggling with his family and his health, Lord willing. And then there's John and Marlene Wall. John had surgery and is doing well. So that's a praise item. And then there's Corny and Betty Drieger. Betty is in the Boundary Trails Health Center. She has been diagnosed with leukemia. Please pray for peace and healing during this difficult time. And then, of course, there's all the ministerial and their families, all our Sunday school students, the youth, teachers, and leaders, and all our government as well. And lastly, I would also like to thank you for your prayer support as our youth were in Mexico. And they were graciously to invite me to join them. So I was with our youth. So it was 20 of us. And we joined the MB Church in Winnipeg at the airport. And we left there on March 27th, flew to Phoenix. And we were in Mexico at the Ancla de Amor. We did a lot of hard work. It was hot. It was a big temperature change leaving here and landing there. It was, I think, when we landed in Phoenix, it was, I think, plus 37. So it was, we quickly took our jackets and shoved them in our suitcases or carry-ons because that was hot. And it was hot in Mexico as well. It was did a lot of sweating, a lot of drinking of water to try to keep hydrated. And it was a really good time. And we came back April 5th and came back to the cold. So we just want to thank you for praying for us as we traveled and as we served in the orphanage. Thank you for coming. Have a blessed Sunday.
Thank you, Brother Henry. And thank you for coming once again. I pray the Lord God Jesus will bless your day, bless your week, and indeed bless your spiritual walk in him. And would you please bow with me for the benediction? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus, let this be so for each of you. And in his name we pray, amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord.